They are not.
你是不是可以想到一个原因，为什么你今天依旧坐在这里，但是你心里想的那个人他不在？
So my proposal to you today is that the more likely answer to that last question is not that they didn't like church or that the other person just lost their faith.
透过今天的讲章，我对刚刚这个问题的想法是，他们不再参加教会，可能不是因为他们单单不喜欢教会。
I also don't think the answer is as simple as, well, it was all in God's plans.
我想那个问题的答案也不是单单只是这一切可能都是在上帝的计划当中。
I believe that the passage that we're studying today has a deeper answer to that question of why some people leave the church and why some people stay.
透过今天我们要读的经文，我相信经文当中会给我们比较深入的答案。
And the answer to that question affects the way that we view our friends, the way we view the church members,and even the way that we view the pastors and leaders of the church.
而这个答案会影响我们用什么样的方式来看待这个不再来教会的朋友或者是会友甚至是教会的领袖。
So let's get into today's story about Moses.
今天的经文是关于摩西。
The Israelites had been miraculously delivered from slavery from the country of Egypt.
这个故事的背景是以色列人已经过了红海，离开过去在埃及被奴役的日子。
And now they were traveling through the desert with Moses leading them.
现在他们正在摩西的领导下通过旷野要往应许之地前进。
And I'm going to have David read this part story to you.
我以下将念出埃及记的18:13-16。第二天，摩西坐着审判百姓。百姓从早到晚都站在摩西的左右。摩西的岳父看见他向百姓所做的一切事，就说：你向百姓做的是什么事呢？你为什么独自坐着？众百姓从早到晚都站在你的左右呢？摩西对岳父说：这是因百姓到我这里来求问神，他们有事的时候就到我这里来，我便在两罩之间施行审判。我又叫他们知道神的律例和法度。
So at this point in the story, it appears that God had already revealed his laws and instructions to Moses so that he could tell the rest of the people of Israel how they were supposed to act and to relate to God.
所以通过刚刚念的经文，你可以知道在这个时间点上，上帝已经显明他的律法给摩西，所以摩西可以告诉以色列百姓他们应该如何行事。
And the problem was that the rest of the people didn't know God's laws,because God didn't tell them.
但是问题在于，除了摩西之外，百姓们并不知道上帝的律法，因为上帝没有告诉他们。
Moses was their leader, so God told Moses all of the instructions.
摩西是以色列人的领袖，所以上帝告诉摩西他的心意。
All the people went to Moses for help, and that's why Moses is just settling disputes for the people from morning until evening.
所有的人都去找摩西帮忙，这也是为什么摩西从早到晚要花许多的时间在解决百姓的问题跟争端。
And the story goes on into verse 17-22.
出埃及记18:17-22。摩西的岳父说：你这做得不好，你和这些百姓必都疲惫，因为这事太重，你独自一人办理不了。现在你要听我的话，我为你出个主意。愿神与你同在，你要替百姓到神面前将案件奏告神，又要将律例和法度教训他们，只是他们当行的道，当做的事，并要从百姓中拣选有才能的人，就是敬畏神、诚实无妄、恨不义之财的人，派他们做千夫长、百夫长、五十夫长、十夫长，管理百姓，叫他们随时审判百姓。大事都要呈到你这里，小事他们自己可以审判，这样你就轻省些，他们也可以同当此任。
So Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he was a wise man.
摩西的岳父叶特罗是一个很有智慧的人。
He saw what Moses was doing, and he knew that it wasn't sustainable.
他看到摩西在做的事情，他知道这个方式很难持续。
There was no way that Moses could decide all the disputes of the entire nation by himself.
摩西一个人不可能解决以色列百姓所有的事情。
Moses was one judge for about 1.5 million people.
摩西自己一个人就要承担很重的工作，是大约要解决100到200万人的工作。
San Francisco has 60 judges.
相较于旧金山，旧金山有大概60位的法官。
But there's only 900,000 people in San Francisco.
但是旧金山市只有大概90万的人口。
So in other words, Moses was doing the job of almost 100 people.
也就是说，摩西相当于在做100个人的工作。
Have you ever done the work of 100 people before?
你曾经做过100个人的工作吗？
This was what Moses was doing.
这就是摩西在做的。
And it's no wonder that Jethro tells Moses that what he's doing is not good.
那也难怪他的岳父叶特罗会跟摩西说，你这样做并不好。
So instead, Jethro advises Moses to train up others to know and understand God's laws.
所以叶特罗建议摩西要训练一批明白上帝律法的人。
And Jethro's advice to Moses is really the same commandment that Jesus gives to us in Matthew 28.
而叶特罗给摩西的建议跟在马太福音28章耶稣给我们的大使命是很类似的。
In Matthew 28, it's verse 18 to 20.
马太福音28章18到20节。耶稣近前来对他们说，天上地下所有的权柄都赐给我了，所以你们要去使万民做我的门徒，奉父子圣灵的名给他们施洗，凡我所吩咐你们的都教训他们遵守，我就常与你们同在，直到世界的末了。
And Jesus didn't just give this command to the pastors.
耶稣并没有只是把这个大使命给牧师。
He gave it to all of us followers.
大使命是给所有跟随耶稣基督的人。
Every single one of us has a personal calling from Jesus to make disciples.
每个基督徒都有这个呼召去使万民做耶稣的门徒。
Now what does Jesus mean by making disciples?
使万民做耶稣的门徒是什么意思呢？
Well, he explains in verse 20 by saying that we are to teach people to obey everything that he's commanded.
20节讲到，凡我所吩咐你们的，都教训他们遵守。
And this is what Jethro told Moses to do.
而这就是叶特罗给摩西的建议。
Teach the people your laws.
训练一批认识明白上帝律法的人。
And that's exactly what Jesus tells us to do.
而这也正是耶稣给我们的命令。
Teach the people God's laws.
教训人上帝的律法。
So this is exactly what the disciples do in Acts chapter 2.
这也是使徒们他们在使徒行传二章所做的。
Acts 2:42.
使徒行传第二章42节，使徒们都恒心遵守门徒们都恒心遵守使徒的教训，彼此交接拨饼祈祷。
Notice that discipleship wasn't done in a classroom.
让我们注意一下，门徒的训练并不单单只是在课室里面发生的。
Discipleship wasn't even done in a church sanctuary.
它并不单单只是在教会里面发生的。
Discipleship was done in the context of eating and of life and relationships and friendships.
它发生在我们吃饭的时候，在我们生活的当中，在我们人际跟朋友的互动的关系之间。
Remember the very first question that I asked you earlier?
还记得我一开始问的问题吗？
Why have you stayed in church while others have not?
为什么今天你仍然有教会的生活，但有些人离开了？
Why have you remained faithful while others don't want anything to do with God anymore?
为什么你今天仍有这个信仰，但有些人却失去了这个信仰？
My answer to you is that the most likely answer is because of friendships and relationships.
我认为最可能的答案应该是关系。
You're here today because you embraced friendship and relationship.
我们今天在这里是因为我们接纳了教会和其他弟兄姐妹之间的关系。
Yes, we embrace relationship with God, but we also embrace fellowship with other believers.
当然是的，我们接受了上帝的救恩，接受耶稣基督，跟上帝有和好的关系，但我们也跟弟兄姐妹建立团契的关系。
Somewhere in your life, someone in the church taught you God's words.
过去可能有人教导你关于上帝的话。
There was that youth worker who maybe prayed for you.
可能有某位的同工为你祷告。
There was a Christian friend who listened to your concerns.
可能有基督徒朋友倾听你的心声。
Maybe some of you were blessed to have parents who taught you and modeled for you what a Christian life looks like.
我们当中的有些人，可能你的父母在生活当中就教导并示范基督徒的生活方式应该是如何。
Somewhere in your life, you developed friendships and relationships with the body of believers of the church.
像在这样的某个情形下，你跟教会弟兄姐妹的关系就慢慢的被建立。
And you stayed committed to those relationships.
而你持续的持守这样子的一个关系。
And I believe that that's why you're here, and that's why some people are not.
而我相信这是我们大部分人待在这里的原因，而有些人并没有待在这里。
There's a research group called Barna Group. It's a Christian research group that surveys churches on many different Christian topics.
Barna Group 是一个基督教的研究小组，他们针对许多不同的基督教议题对教会做调查。
And I found this research article that they posted back in September 2013.
我找到其中他们一篇研究文章，是他们在大概2013年9月所发表的。
It's reasons why millennials stay connected to the church.
他是讲到千禧世代持续与教会接触的原因。
This article talks about millennials, which is defined as the generation born between 1982 and 2004.
这篇文章的主题是针对千禧世代的人，也就是在大概1982年到2004年出生的这个世代。
So if you're between maybe like 13 and 35 years old, you're considered a millennial.
所以如果你的年龄是介于13岁到大概35岁之间，你就是属于千禧世代的人。
Anyone here born between 1982 and 2004?
有人是在这个世代的吗
？Okay, maybe like a fourth of the room.
大概四分之一的人。
Even though this article is about millennials, I think the results of this article are pretty universal. They can apply to anybody.
虽然这篇文章、这篇研究是针对千禧世代，但是我想文章中的调查结果可以应用在广泛的应用在每个教会当中的人。
And these are statistics, so they don't apply.To everyone all the time, but it's a good overview of what's happening, what might be happening.
而且这些数据并不考虑个人的特殊的状况，但是它提供我们一个很好的概况，可以来了解正在发生的事情。
So the first point I'd like to highlight is that millennials stay connected to the church because they make room for meaningful relationships.
第一个原因，这些千禧世代的人他们会留在教会，是因为他们为着有意义的关系来创造一个空间。
There's a quote in there that the article says, "Those who stay in the church were twice as likely to have a close friendship with an adult inside the church."
在文章当中就提到，那些留在教会的千禧世代的人有大概两倍、双倍的可能性，他们在教会内跟某一个成人建立了一个良好的友谊的关系。
And there's another surprising quote in there. It says that 7 out of 10 millennials who dropped out of church did not have a close friendship with an adult, and nearly 9 out of 10 never had a mentor at church.
另外一个统计是，每十个离开教会的千禧世代的人当中，有七个没有跟任何的人建立过紧密的友谊关系。而当中的九个可能甚至没有属灵上的一个导师。
Now, when I read that in the article, it shocked me completely.
我读到这两个数据的时候，我觉得非常的震撼。
But when I reflected on it, I remembered back when I was a senior in high school. I intentionally tried to do number one.
但是我开始去思考的时候，我想到在我高中的时候，我刻意的去为第一点。
There were
来做一个创造一个空间，来营造这些有意义的关系。
There were three of us seniors in high school who decided to go out of our way every Sunday after church to talk with these freshmen.
有三个我们大概年纪相仿的朋友，我们决定在每个周日的聚会结束之后，去跟低年级的同学来谈话。
We would ask them how they were doing each week and what they were learning in school.
我们会关心他们每周的生活，了解他们在学校的学习了什么。
We would ask them what book of the Bible they were reading that week.
我们也会关心他们读了哪些的圣经。
And we asked them how we could pray for them that week.
我们可以怎么为他们来祷告。
We could have, as seniors in high school, we could have been doing other things than talking with little freshmen.
我们其实可以选择做其他的事情，不用刻意的去跟这些低年级的同学交谈。
But we intentionally went out of our way to make meaningful relationships with these underclassmen.
但是我们刻意的去与这些低年级的同学建立有意义的关系。
And two out of the three that we mentored are still in church.
而两个当中的三个人呢，他们今天依旧在教会里面。
Unfortunately, one of them is not attending church anymore.
很遗憾的，有其中一个已经不再参加教会。
But I think that the two out of three stayed in church because of exactly number one, making room for meaningful relationships.
但其中的两个人，他们能继续待在教会当中，参加教会，我相信是因为我们创造了这个有意义的关系。
Number two, the second point was make reverse mentoring a priority.
第二个他们会留下来的原因是因为反向指导是重要的事情。
So reverse mentoring is exactly what it sounds like.
反向指导正如这个名词。
The mentor becomes the student, and the student becomes the mentor.
意思就是导师成为学生，学生成为导师。
It's where the student can teach the teacher.
也就是说学生是可以教导老师的。
Now, how many of you guys know that the student never teaches the teacher?
有人知道有哪一个学生从来没有教导老师任何的事情吗？
When you go to school, you sit down in your chair, and the teacher teaches you.
往往当我们去到学校，我们就是坐下来，老师教导我们。
But when it comes to mentoring, especially when it means connecting to the church, we have to make this reverse mentoring a priority.
但是当我们讲到传授一个知识、一个指导的时候，常常我们看到它是双向的。
Sometimes we have to let the student become the teacher.
有的时候我们需要让学生也可以成为导师。
Did you know that I learned how to play the guitar from a 15-year-old girl?
我曾经跟一个15岁的女孩学习如何弹吉他。
She was a youth in my Houston church.
她是一个我在休斯顿教会时候的年轻人。
And she was very, very talented.
她很有天赋跟恩赐。
And when I asked her to teach me guitar, she was surprised.
当我请教她，请她来教导我弹吉他的时候，她很惊讶。
Because there was this adult asking her, this little teenager, how to play the guitar.
因为竟然会有一个成人去向她询问请教一件事情。
And she was surprised, but I realized later on after she taught me how to play guitar, she found it really, really meaningful.
她一开始非常的讶异，但是当我们开始这个关系之后，她发现这个年轻人也觉得这个关系是非常有意义的。
I just had breakfast the other day with a friend who is many, many years younger than me, and he was able to offer me some advice also.
几天前我跟一个年轻人吃早餐，他竟然也为我怎么样可以面试爱加贝的义工提供很好的建议。
He gave me some good advice on how to interview these Agape Land volunteers who are going to be coming this summer for Agape Land.
他教导我一些方法可以面试这些暑期爱加贝的义工。
I have to interview maybe 50-60 volunteers over the summer.
我大概要面试大概50-60个人。
I've never interviewed anyone in my life.
我从来没有面试过任何的人。
I don't know how to interview. I'm not in HR. I don't know how to interview people.
我也不是在人力资源部工作过，所以我没有任何的经验。
So last year, it wasn't surprising that when I interviewed some of the volunteers, I thought they were going to be good volunteers.
所以去年我面试了几个人，我认为他们应该是很好的义工。
But it turns out that some of them were very bad volunteers.
但是结果很不幸的是，当中有一些人，他们并不是一个好的义工。
And I had to ask this friend of mine, how do you interview these volunteers? Even though this guy was, I was mentoring this guy, I was asking him for advice.
所以我就向这个我在指导他的人请教，我应该怎么样来做这个面试。
And he was able to give me some very good advice. He had interviewed some people before.
而他竟然可以给我很好的一些建议怎么样来面试。
But this very much younger guy was able to help this much older guy teach this guy something important.
这个人他的年纪是非常的年轻，低于我好几年。
So why is reverse mentoring so important? Why is this so important?
所以为什么这个反向的指导是如此的重要呢？
It really shows the student that they have something to offer the relationship.
因为反向的这样的指导的方式，让学生知道，其实他们对这个关系也是可以有所贡献的。
The mentor relationship is not just one-sided.
这个关系不是单向的。
The student is also important.
这个学生他们是也很重要的。
The teacher is not the only one talking all the time.
老师不是那个单单一个人总是在讲话的。
The student can offer advice and teaching.
学生也可以有所贡献。
And secondly, it gives the student a glimpse into their spiritual gifts and ultimately their life mission.
第二个好处是让学生可以发觉看到他们属灵的恩赐。
When they're able to teach someone older than them, they realize that they have something important and something special.
当他们可以教导比他们年长的人，他们可以看到原来他自己是这么样的独特，这么样的特别。
That 15-year-old girl who taught me guitar, she had something special, and she realized that after she started teaching me.
那个十五岁教我吉他的女孩，她明白意会到原来她是有这样子的才能。
And she's in the creative arts industry now working.
而她现在是在也在同样的领域工作。
That guy who told me about how to interview people, he was able to realize something about his job also, that it was part of his calling and part of his spiritual gifts.
而那个给我面试上面有所建议的年轻人，他也从当中发觉到上帝可以怎么样使用他。
And the third point that I wanted to highlight was embrace vocational discipleship.
第三点，我要讲的是拥抱有使命感的门徒训练。
There's this vocation is just means calling, which could be applied to lifelong passion. It could be your job. It could be your career.
Vocation 在这里指的不是假期，是一个使命感，也就是一个呼召，可以成为一生的热情、职业或是工作。
There's this quote in there that says millennials are 4 times more likely to have learned at church how the Bible applies to my field or career interests.
在这个研究文章当中就有提到，与其他世代相较，千禧世代有4倍的可能性将他们所学习到的知识应用在自己的领域和职业当中。
Vocational discipleship involves mentors helping younger ones learn how they live Christian lives in the context of their work.
使命感的门徒训练使我们去帮助年轻人学习他们如何在他们工作的场域活出基督徒的生命。
There are young people who have career goals and ideas and they're looking to mentors who have similar gifts and passions as they do, to show them what it means to live out their Christian convictions, whether it's in business or work.
许多的年轻人有目标和想法，他们需要有类似恩赐和热情的人提供他们经验，让他们看到什么叫做在职场上、在工作上可以活出基督徒的生命。
They're asking the question of what does it look like to be a Christian school teacher, a Christian restaurant worker, a Christian engineer,Christian salesman, Christian student, what does that look like?
他们可能一直在问一个问题，什么叫做一个基督徒的老师，一个有基督信仰的餐厅员工，什么叫做一个有基督信仰的工程师、销售员或是学生。
And they need you to tell them what that looks like.
而他们需要你去告诉他们会是什么样的一个样子。
They need someone who is an adult who's older than them to disciple them and to mentor them.
他们需要有一个有经验的一个成年人来提供他们一个方向，来指导他们。
In youth ministry, almost all of the youth don't know what they're going to do as a job.
几乎在青年事工部的这些青年人，有许多的青年人，他们不知道他们之后要做什么。
And they need someone to be able to talk with them about their gifts, talk with them about their interests and ideas and talents, so that they can walk into their future calling.
所以他们需要有人去跟他们交谈，认识他们，跟他们一起发掘他们的兴趣恩赐，帮助他们。
So my question for you guys today is, who are you discipling?
所以我要留给你的问题是，谁是你这个训练教导的对象呢？
Discipling the next generation is going to require more than one person doing it.
教导下一代不是一个人的工作。
Moses couldn't do all of the work.
摩西没有办法做到。
Pastor Choi is not going to do all the work.
蔡牧师也没有办法做到。
Moses taught the next generation what it meant to obey God's commandments.
摩西教导下一代什么叫做遵行神的命令。
And raising up the next generation requires all of us to obey Jesus' command to make disciples and to teach them.
而养育教养下一代需要我们自己先服从耶稣的命令，使人成为门徒来教导他们。
If you're not mentoring someone now,then you need to start with one.
如果你现在还没有一个教导的对象，你可能需要开始来寻找一个。
And who can you start mentoring?
而你觉得谁可以开始呢？
Maybe your children or your grandchildren?
是你自己的孩子或是自己的孙子吗？
Maybe that one person at church who's pursuing the same career that you've been working at for the last 20 years?
是教会当中的那个年轻人正朝着你职业方向努力的孩子吗？
Maybe it's that kid at school that reminds you of yourself when you were that age.
还是在学校当中，当你看到他，使你想起自己过去的那个孩子呢？
Maybe it's that person who looks like they can carry the same spiritual gifts as you.
又或是那个似乎跟你有相同恩赐的年轻人。
Whoever it is, we need mentors and we need disciplers to rise up and take responsibility for our younger generation.
不论那个人是谁，我们需要导师，我们需要做门徒训练。
Because if we don't take responsibility for discipling the next generation, then they're going to be like my friends who don't attend church anymore and who are completely absent from Christian life.
因为若我们不承担这样子的一个使命跟责任的话，可能我们就会看到下一个年轻人他失落了，他离开了教会。
That very first question, who think of one person who you remember who used to come to church and who doesn't anymore?
那个我所问的第一个问题，曾经来到教会，现在不再来教会的那个人。
I don't want that to happen, when it comes to me and my church.
我不希望我看到这样的事情一再的发生。
Be intentional about discipling the next generation.
我们需要刻意的去训练下一代。
Teach them what you've learned in the Bible.
教导他们你从圣经当中学习到了什么。
Teach them what you've learned about being a Christian while you're doing your job.
教导他们怎样在工作的时候也活出一个基督徒的见证。
Be open to learning from someone younger than you.
然后我们要用一个开放的态度来向比我们年轻的人来学习。
Who are you discipling and who are you mentoring?
你在教导谁呢？你在训练谁呢？
Let me pray for all of you.
让我们一起低头来祷告。
Father, we thank you for the example of Moses.
父神，我们向你献上感谢，因为摩西的榜样。
Thank you for his teaching the younger generation your commands.
我们看到他怎么样教导下一代来认识你的律法。
I ask you, Lord, that you would help us to find those people that we need to disciple and we need to mentor.
父神，求你让我们的眼睛可以看到有那些需要我们来教导的下一代。
I ask you, Lord, that You would put in our hearts a conviction to raise up the next generation.
父神，也求你把那样子的一个使命放在我们的心中，我们有这样子的一个义务，这样子的一个责任来教养我们的下一代。
We can't do it by ourselves, but we know that as a team, as a body of Christ, we can all do it together.
我们知道这不是单单一个人的工作，但我们在一起，我们在教会的家庭当中，我们可以一起来合作。
Help us, Father, to reach out and to build up relationships.And to disciple the young ones younger than us.
父神帮助我们，让我们可以往外去伸出我们友谊的手，来建立关系，来训练人成为你的门徒。
I pray these things in Jesus' name.
奉耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
Amen.